That prospect didn't seem to bother anyone. The cowboys got back in their twilight routine, cracking bull whips, practicing roping, pitching horseshoes. When it was too dark to pitch horseshoes, some of them played cards, and others gathered by the cook fire, drinking coffee and swapping stories. Obra Denton, who had cowboyed all over the West for the past 40 years, remembered spending a winter alone in the high country of northern Arizona. His only shelter had been 2 pieces of tin and a strip of canvas. "I thought this was about the best life there was," Obra said. About half of the 15 cowboys taking part in the roundup were drifters who followed the flow. Montana, Nevada, Arizona, Texas, wherever there was work, branding, or gathering. Most of them were younger than Obra, and some had college educations, but they were cut from the same cloth. They were all willing to sacrifice anything for this archaic, ritualistic way of life. Most had been married at some time, but cowboying could take its toll on a marriage. Ron Goddard, a young cowboy from Montana, had been married when he worked at the OT-6 the past spring. He and his wife and another couple had built a wagon and put together a contract branding outfit, hiring out to dilettante ranchers who were willing to pay someone else to brand, castrate, dehorn, earmark, and vaccinate newborn calves. But now Goddard's marriage was on the rocks, and he had no idea where he would go from here.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American's Business and Oil and Lifestyle sections, followed by Far West Texas News at 7.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 70 and partly cloudy. Tonight, clear with a low in the upper 60s. Then tomorrow, mostly sunny and hot with a high around 102. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the upper 60s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
Coronavirus updates, weekdays at 1.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 6 a.m.
Welcome to this week's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Business and Oil sections, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram's oil report for Sunday, April 26th. Local firm offers factoring as way to generate cash flow. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Justin Ryan, Irene Hinojos, and Kristen Bennett with Velocity Financial talk about how they are helping Small Business Thursday generate cash flow. A young Midland company is utilizing a financing method that reaches back to ancient times to help clients generate cash flow. Oil industry veteran Trip Womack founded Velocity Financial in early 2019 as a factoring company to give clients financial flexibility. Factoring involves a company, in this case Velocity, buying invoices from clients for a fee. Velocity will then collect the money owed on the invoices. Quote, "There's still a lot of people who don't know factoring is still going on," said Irene Hinojos, Senior Vice President, Operations and Compliance, in a phone interview. As the industry's economic gloom has deepened, she said the business has received more inquiries as they seek to close what she called a cash flow gap. Typically, when an invoice is sent, the company has to wait up to 60 days to receive payment, she explained. Expenses still happen, she said. Instead of waiting that 60 days or longer, selling their invoices to Velocity gives them cash flow, she said. Among its other services, Velocity is helping clients prepare for the changes in the economy. Quote, We want to be prepared. We want our clients to be prepared for any major changes, whether it's declining credit or pending bankruptcies, Hinojosa said. Justin Ryan, Senior Vice President, Underwriting and Credit, said they have seen a few bankruptcies already. Any additional bankruptcies will, quote, depend on how oil recovers, end quote. Hinojo said that before buying invoices, Velocity performs credit checks. This alleviates concerns about companies paying Velocity clients what is owed them, Ryan said. Those credit checks are part of the service they provide clients regularly, she said. The company doesn't have monthly minimums, which Hinojo says benefits clients who may see monthly billings decline because jobs are being delayed. Quote, when oil gets as low as it is now, she said, traditional lenders try to reduce their exposure to energy clients. If an energy banker or lender has reduced a company's line of credit, she said factoring could be used to supplement that credit. It also reduces the exposure of traditional energy lenders to the cycles of the energy economy. Factoring for oil and gas clients has been the company's focus, she said, but Velocity Financial also works with a wide range of industries, from infrastructure, road builders, to staffing and transportation companies and janitorial services. Though based in Midland, Velocity has clients in other cities and other states. Quote, Justin and I are native West Texas. This area is close to our hearts. Our friends and our family are here, she said. Oil prices show they can drop below zero. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Oil markets made history last week, turning negative for the first time since futures trading began more than 30 years ago. West Texas Intermediate on Monday closed at a negative $37.63 a barrel as contracts for May delivery of crude expired. When June contracts became a near-month contract, they remained in positive territory but sank to $9.06 a barrel. For Midlander Michael Bunchbach, an oil, gas, and natural gas liquids marketing consultant, it was an opportunity to remind producers and the general public how crude oil is priced. Quote, even though natural gas had gone below zero in early 2019, the general sentiment in crude was that the oil price could not drop below zero, he told the Reporter-Telegram by email. Continuing the quote, this led speculators, such as guys in their pajamas sitting at home trading online with various online brokers, to, for example, buy crude at $1 per barrel, thinking it could not go lower than that. So, either through options or futures, these speculators were long crude. Virtually no one, and particularly speculators, ever had the intention when they enter into futures contracts of going to delivery, that is, owning crude and then selling physical barrels at Cushing. To take delivery at Cushing, you need a tank or rights to a tank at Cushing, and in the case of speculators, they do not have these rights, irrespective of how much or how little storage is available in Cushing. So, because they cannot take delivery, and because the May options contract expired on Monday, April 21st, and the May futures contract expired on Tuesday, April 22nd, speculators had to unwind their trades on paper and take huge losses to do so, end quote. The steep drop in prices led some analysts to speculate that prices could fall to a negative $100 if supplies continued to outstrip storage capacity. Bunchbach said steps are being taken to lessen, but not completely eliminating, the chances of negative prices when the June contract expires. First, online brokers are now requiring $5 million in a margin account to trade the prompt month, which will eliminate a lot of speculators and reduce the number of participants in prompt month trading. Secondly, fundamentals are rapidly changing with significant shut-ins, like Continental Resources in the Bakken. And third, USO, the largest oil-related exchange-traded fund, ETF, announced it will not hold as much prompt month exposure as they have in the past. There are steps producers can take to remove the risk of such price speculation impacting their prices, he said. Quote, one thing a producer could do is to restructure its contract with its crude buyer, he said. The typical crude purchase contract assumes that oil will be delivered in equal daily quantities during the month, and as such, the base price, before deductions for the Midland Cushing basis and trucking, is the arithmetic average of each day's closing NYMEX price. In order to avoid a particularly poor pricing day, a producer could negotiate with his purchaser, if the purchaser is negotiable on this point, to price each load picked up at the lease at the price for that day. Auctioneer anticipates more business amid low oil prices. The story was written by Miller McEwen. The oil patch has seen countless equipment auctions throughout its history, from the liquidation auctions held by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation during the bust of the 1980s to the boom of the early 2010s as companies sought needed equipment and sellers cashed in on surplus equipment, auctioneers were kept busy. Ritchie Brothers sold more than $43 million of assets in over 4,400 lots of more than 460 sellers in a two-day auction last week in Houston. Because of coronavirus restrictions, it was a virtual auction and was attended by more than 8,600 registered bidders from across the U.S. and 61 other nations. All bidding was done online, and 22% of the purchases were made through the company's mobile app. Even though the consigners selling at the auction weren't solely oil and gas companies, the auction was held as oil prices were plunging to negative $37 a barrel before recovering to above $16 a barrel. Alan McVicker, regional sales manager, told the Reporter Telegram by email, quote, with oil prices where they are right now, we do expect to see an increase in oil and gas specific and related equipment coming to auction in the coming months, end quote. He said a lot of the equipment used in the energy industry is used in other industries as well. So while the energy sector may be struggling, other industries may not be. Bulldozers, graders, trucks, these are all used across multiple sectors. For equipment that is energy specific, many customers are still operating and still need the gear to maintain or update their equipment. Some people in a downturn market will purchase gear to stockpile and wait for the market to return. Also, with a volatile stock market, some would rather divest in chattel assets, end quote. In deciding how to sell or buy equipment, McVicker said everyone has different priorities and goals. Quote, some consigners are looking to upgrade their fleets and are selling off old assets. Some have surplus or idle assets they want to get off their books or want to use that money to reinvest in their business. Some want to test the market while it's hot, he said. There are retirement dispersals, and yes, there are also those who need to liquidate and get cash in hand, he said. Our job is to ensure our solutions meet each one of those needs. The same can be said about the buying side, with various motivations depending on the customer. Buying new equipment usually comes with a higher price tag, and sometimes long wait times depending on the equipment. We sell hundreds of thousands of items each year through our various marketplaces. We have something for nearly everyone, and after they win the item and pay for it, it's good to go to work. The turnkey aspect of our business is very appealing for many. We have companies we have helped buy and sell equipment for generations. Many companies have built their entire fleets, or close to it, through our auctions. End quote. Established in 1958, Ritchie Brothers has evolved through the years, establishing on-site auctions, then its Iron Planet and Marketplace E. The company has also established the energy-focused Cruise Energy Auction Solution. McVicker said that Ritchie Brothers has been conducting online auctions since the early 2000s. Last year, more than 65% of all purchases at its on-site auctions were from online bidders. With the COVID-19 pandemic and restrictions on large gatherings, the company has switched to online bidding only for on-site auctions. Quote, customers are still coming to the site to inspect items. We are limiting the number of people allowed in our yard, but then heading home and bidding online, he said. Today, we are seeing record numbers of bidders participating, and demand is still strong for most equipment categories. End quote. At last week's auction, he said Texas, California, and Florida were the top three state buyers, while some of the international buyers were from India, Italy, and Peru.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, 2020. COVID-19 scams targeting senior citizens. By Heather Massey, Regional Director of the Better Business Bureau in the Permian Basin. The Centers for Disease Control, CDC, tells us that older adults are at higher risk for severe illness from COVID-19. Unfortunately, they may also be at high risk for being targeted by scammers. BBB scam tracker data show us that while adults over 65 are more likely to walk away from a potential scam, they lose more money than any other demographic, with a median loss of $350 in 2019. Many senior citizens are turning to BBB to report coronavirus-related scams targeting them. Scammers are largely impersonating health officials and other authorities while luring victims in by mentioning the economic impact payments distributed under the CARES Act. Some seniors report receiving text messages claiming to be from the Department of Health, stating online COVID-19 tests are mandatory in order to receive stimulus payments. Other scams involve seniors receiving emails with links to check their eligibility for stimulus payments. The scammers claim to be from the U.S. Department of Health, the Social Security Administration, or other government branches. A large reason consumers lose money to scams is because the source seemed official. With various government departments and programs working to help consumers and businesses, posing as a government official is becoming a go-to for scammers. Use these tips to protect yourself or a senior close to you. Contact someone. Reach out to trusted friends and relatives for advice if you receive a call or email you're unsure of. You can also call your bank or other trusted organizations for financial guidance. If a scammer tries to keep you on the phone or rush you into a decision, hang up and reach out for advice. Avoid outrageous claims. Companies are targeting seniors by promoting products that claim to cure or prevent COVID-19. However, these products are using false advertising as COVID has no proven cure or FDA-approved vaccines. Go beyond the testimonials on the company's website. Research them at BBB.org. Beware of offers that sound too good to be true. Scammers will try to target seniors whose retirement has been affected by the current economic climate. Offers that seem too good to be true probably are. Take time to reach out to your trusted financial advisor before reassessing your finances. Stay smart. Simply being aware of scams can help prevent you from falling victim. Visit bbb.org/coronavirus for marketplace tips and scam alerts surrounding the COVID-19 crisis. You can see what scams are happening in your area at bbb.org/scam tracker. Throughout the ongoing pandemic, communities continue to come together to support every member. Better Business Bureau, serving the heart of Texas, is proud to offer these tips to senior citizens in our community and continue its role as the leader in advancing marketplace trust in trying times. Visit us at bbb.org/coronavirus for more tips on COVID-19. The Economist. Low Demand, High Supply Causes Chaos, by M. Ray Perryman, head of the Perryman Group and a distinguished professor at the International Institute for Advanced Studies. Oil markets are in turmoil. In January, oil prices were trending in the upper $50 per barrel. Now, spot prices are a fraction of that level, and futures prices actually went decidedly negative for the first time in history for certain contracts as they neared maturity. Traders scrambled to avoid taking delivery of oil they didn't want or have any place to store. Prices have declined due to the combination of 1. Plummeting demand as economies and industries around the world shut down due to COVID-19, and 2. Rising supply with threats of even more due to the collapse of talks earlier this year among major oil producers to try to bring discipline to the market. As I've discussed previously, the recent agreement by OPEC, which includes market-based adjustments in the United States, is not sufficient to rebalance markets, though it's an important step. In the midst of the market turmoil, unfavorable comparisons to the 1980s oil bust are inevitably being drawn. I want to emphasize that the current situation is completely different. In the 1980s, prices fell to around $8 per barrel and didn't recover for a long time because of massive structural problems in the market, Cold War geopolitics, and a weak economy from the savings and loan and real estate collapse, which exacerbated a growing oversupply situation. I wrote a book about it. Even further back, prices fell to a dime per barrel in the East Texas oil field in the 1930s and didn't rebound for a while due to the Great Depression and the Dust Bowl. By contrast, the current situation is caused by a health crisis that rapidly shuttered much of the world economy. There were no major structural problems prior to COVID-19. In fact, we were in the midst of the longest expansion in history. Once the economy can reopen, a substantial portion of global consumption should resume quickly. In fact, with the recent OPEC agreement and the related effects of bringing fewer wells online in the U.S. and elsewhere, only about half of the lost demand must be restored to facilitate a more orderly market. Recovery of oil prices is particularly critical to Texas. when exploration, drilling, production, oil field services, pipelines, storage, refining, shipping, and other aspects of the energy sector are considered. Oil from the Permian Basin alone supports about 10% of the Texas economy, with the industry statewide comprising about 13 to 14%. As the economy begins to recover from COVID-19 restrictions and travel prohibitions, oil markets can normalize expeditiously. Prices should recover to sustainable levels for West Texas producers, where costs were falling notably for years before the pandemic and in the next few months, which will be good news indeed. Be safe. Narrowing Breadth and an Interdependent Economy by Dennis Elam, Assistant Professor at Texas A&M San Antonio, and a 1966 graduate of Andrews High School. Despite a recent run-up in stock prices for large, mainly tech-based stocks, there is continued carnage beneath the surface of indices. The five largest stocks make up over 20% of the S&P, the highest level in decades, and their combined worth is equal to the bottom 350 companies in the S&P combined. While the S&P is down just under 15% for the year, the equal weighted index is down almost 25%, and the small cap index is down over 35%. Narrowing breadth occasions the end of a bull market run-up in stock prices. Fewer and fewer stocks participate in what is left of the rally. But the weighted presence of these stocks among various indices makes it appear the market is in great shape. Now the FANG stocks are the 20%, masking a greater weakness. Only 18% of the 500 S&P stocks are over their 150-day moving average. Durable goods orders reported this morning dropped 14%. That is the second biggest drop ever. Oil prices actually went negative Monday on the nearby contract. Speculators were paying a third party to take a barrel of oil off their hands. Now that is deflation. Readers can learn more at www.deflation.com. All of this points up just how interdependent we have become as a society. Three generations back, my grandfather lived a pretty independent, okay, frugal and bare bones life. He had chickens in the backyard and grew his own garden. Others in his small town had a few cows or goats to further supplement the dining room table. One heard phrases like store-bought to indicate goods made by a third party. Such store-bought goods were seen as luxuries. Every mom, it seemed, owned a Singer sewing machine. A mark of an independent woman was that she made her own clothes. Now that independence in large cities is gone. Let the hotel industry close, and the ripple effect across town never stops. Reopening the auto plant is problematic until the dealers can sell what is on the lot. Here in San Antonio, 71,000 are now jobless. I read calls for more education. Well, what is it that we have been educating people to do? Does it really require 12 years of public school to become a waiter or hotel maid? Rather, this number of people so quickly dislodged from a paycheck should call for a reexamination of why we lack plumbers, carpenters, and other worthwhile vocations. For now, the energy industry cannot make money on $17 oil. It took the airlines 6 years after 2009 to regain 2005 level of traffic. Don't expect a quick V-style recovery.
thank you for joining us for this week's readings of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Business and Oil sections. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 70 and partly cloudy. Tonight, clear with a low in the upper 60s. Then tomorrow, mostly sunny and hot with a high around 102. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the upper 60s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
Welcome to this week's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Lifestyle sections, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Sunday, April 26th, 2020. Life and Times. Helping Others. Parent establishes foundation in honor of son. Nonprofit seeks to help those suffering from drug alcohol abuse. By Michael Bauer, MBAUER at OAOA.com. It's every parent's worst nightmare. For Luis Tijerina, his job has been to make sure that no one else ever has to go through what he endured. On August 16, 2009, Luis Tijerina's son, Louis, was in a car crash near Floyd Gwynn Park. His prognosis worsened over the next 9 days, and it wasn't long until he had to pull his son off of life support. Louis had been